To Mark 11. That's where we're going to begin today, Mark 11. And we started the new year off with a word. Do you remember what the first word I preached on the new year? I'll give you a hint. Be watchful in all things. Okay? We talked about being watchful in all things. It wasn't necessarily the message I picked for the new year, but the Lord wanted to start us off saying, alert. Hello. Wake up. Be watchful in all things of your life this year. And then we moved into a message on tithing. You say, wow, you started talking about money right off the bat. What's up with you, preacher? Well, because the Bible says if you're faithful in that which is least, you'll be faithful in the much. Amen. And so if you're a Christian who's been praying, Lord, use me in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, God will use you in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But that is a higher responsibility, a higher level of trust than your finances. Are you faithful in your finances? You don't have to answer that out loud. That's just a question, a rhetorical question. But so that was our second or third week into the new year. And now we begun recently on a faith series. You remember Mark 11, 23 through 24. And we're moving on down the verses today. So I want to say this. The last couple weeks we talked about saying and praying. You remember? If you say unto this mountain, be thou removed. And if you pray, when you stand praying, believe you receive. Our mouth is so crucial for the direction of our lives in the new year. And the enemy will do everything he can. This is why the Lord's having me preach on these subjects, because the devil wants us to stay silent. You know, you got a sword in your mouth. When Jesus comes on the earth, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, he will smite the nations with the sword of his mouth. Amen. In the meantime, he expects the church to be winning battles with the sword of our mouth. Amen. And so if things aren't just right around you in your world, I shared with you a week or two ago about how my neighborhood's been having some rumblings lately, and I've been dealing with it. I got beyond dealing with it in my flesh, and now I'm dealing with it with my sword. And I'm speaking what I want to happen, because Jesus told us in Mark 11, 23, if you say unto this mountain, be removed, right? And so you got a mountain in your life, you better do some talking. Amen. Are you with me?
Amen.
You got to do some talking. And the enemy will try to keep you silent. Don't be silent. This is a year to roar in the Lord. Amen. Say and pray. Say and pray. Say and pray. James the apostle says our tongue is a rudder. A rudder. You want to steer your life toward good things? Don't wait on God. He's waiting on you. I said, don't wait on God. Sometimes Christians say, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. That's our church talk for I'm doing nothing. And God may be waiting on you. What are you saying? There's a verse in Psalms that says the angels hearken to the voice of his command. Did you know when you put God's word in your mouth and you speak the word of God over that situation, the angels listen, and they don't obey you per se. They obey the word of God coming out of your mouth.
Amen.
They hearken to the voice of his command. So don't be silent. Amen. Don't be silent in 2023. Get some things moving in your life. Get some things changing in your life. Do some talking. Amen. I'm not talking about just talking out of your brain, talking out of your heart, talking out of the word of God. Let the word fill your mouth and see things change for the good. Amen. Well, today I'm going to talk about a key that I believe impacts and can affect them all. And it's interesting that Jesus, in talking in Mark 11, 22 through about 26, he talks about saying to the mountain, praying to the Father, and the verse we're going to cover today is about, what do you think? Forgiveness of all things. Why on earth would he bring up forgiveness? Well, we'll see in just a moment. I'm glad you asked. Let's look at it. Let's start in verse 21 of Mark 11. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered, saying unto them, notice he's talking not only to Peter, he made this into an object lesson for the whole group, right? And he said unto them, have faith in God. Say it with me. Have faith in God. Another translation says this, have God-like faith, right? Because it takes God-like faith to do what he says in the next verse, which is, look at verse 23. For I say unto you truly, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. King James nails it here. It's great. He shall have, read it with me, whatsoever he saith. And then in verse 24, he shifts from talking about saying to the mountain to praying. Look at verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you pray, you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them And read the last part with me. And ye shall have them. Man, those are two great promises. You shall have whatsoever you say, and ye shall have them. It's a having kind of year. Amen? Amen? It's a year full of blessing. And God's just waiting for you and I to do some talking to release those blessings. You ever played pinata at a birthday party? It may not be your typical birthday celebration, but I love it when I've gone to parties, either for my daughter growing up. You know, we had one time, didn't we? Yeah. You got to watch that stick swinging. You could get hit as a parent real quick. But those pinatas are fun. What happens when the kid bashes the pinata? The blessings flow. Listen, when you speak to the heavens, when you speak to your mountain, when you pray in 2023, blessings will flow. But you got to do something. You got to swing that stick. The stick is your mouth, okay? You see the analogy there? Okay, now let's look in verse 25. That's what we're going to cover today. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Who was Jesus talking to in this passage? What group of people? The disciples. What nation were they? Jewish. Were they living under the law of Moses or in the age of grace at this point in time? Moses. Law of Moses. They were Jews under the law. Why? Because Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet to release the grace of God. Now, I want you to see something. Under law, your forgiveness hinged on you forgiving others. Do you see that? If you don't forgive, your Father will not forgive. Under grace, which we're about to see in Ephesians 4 in just a moment, things have shifted. Because under grace, God declares, you're forgiven, so forgive. Do you see the difference? Under law, he says, forgive so you can be forgiven. Under grace, he says, you're forgiven, so forgive. I know I'm splitting hairs. It feels like a very fine line, but it's important for you to see. In Christ, we've been forgiven. Amen? And then God expects something of us to forgive. So really, even under law or under grace, it works both ways. Let's look at Ephesians 4, verse 32. Let's read that together. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4. By the way, if you're new to our church, we do a Wednesday night service. We don't do it here. We do it at the Rotary House here in Alvin. It's a small kind of a clubhouse and fits about 50, 60 people comfortably. We meet on Wednesday nights from 7 to 8 p.m. We're doing a study right now on Ephesians. It's a great study, so come join us. If you're new to our church, you might check us out on Wednesday nights. Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath. What does that mean?
Already.
Past tense, already, right? Hath forgiven you. He says here, you forgive others because God has already forgiven you in Christ. Amen. Now let's back up to verse 26 and catch it all in context. Are you with me? Look at verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Now some people stop right there. They say, see, the Bible says I can be angry as long as I don't sin. And they're kidding themselves. Because it goes on to say, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, you're not allowed to stay angry, even if you think you can, as long as you don't sin. Some people say, well, I can stay angry as long as I don't sin. No, you can't stay angry more than a day. That's what the Bible's saying. Are you with me? Not more than a day. Have you ever, don't raise your hand if you've done it, husband and wife, ever gone to bed with anger in the house? Oh, it's the worst night's sleep you'll ever get. You better deal with it before that sun goes completely down. The Bible knows what it's talking about because it says in the next verse, verse 27, neither give place to the devil. You sleep on anger. While you're sleeping, somebody crept into the house. His name is terrible, awful, horrible, trash. Don't give place to the devil. Don't sleep on anger. Look at verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more. Well, that's an odd shift of subject. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needs. God's saying here, if you're in Christ, you should have a true change of life. If you were a thief before, you should be a giver now. That's what he's saying. You should have a turnaround in Christ. There in verse 28. Look at 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Don't raise your hand on that one. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. The Bible's not just saying here, don't curse. It's saying make sure that you're always helping people around you with grace. You know, someone comes along and they start crying on your shoulder about how they're hurting, they've been a victim, etc. If you join in with them, you're not doing the right thing. You speak grace. Grace says you're more than a conqueror. You affirm the grace that God's already released to their life instead of joining in with them. Are you with me? Instead of agreeing with them in negativity. Well, I want to say this about cursing. It's not a sin to curse after you get saved. It's a sin to keep cursing after you get saved. Don't raise your hand on that one. See, it's not a, what we read in Deuteronomy before the offering, Deuteronomy 15:4, God says, there should be nobody who's poor once you guys get it settled in the promised land, right? I want to say this, in Christ, God's very lenient. There are people who get saved, they still got different habits that are dropping off of their life, but don't keep those habits. Amen. It's not a sin to be broke when you come into Christ, but as you let Jesus elevate your life, it's a sin to stay broke. Amen. You ever been around some Christians, they've been poor ever since you've known them? And their life's not gotten any better for years. You've been around them. You go, don't say yes. Just listen while I'm talking about it, okay? But they just never get out of the pit. Or they got habits and things that just don't ever seem to break. There's something wrong there. Amen? Just like it told us in verse 26, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't live day after day in the pit you were in. You're in Christ now. Amen? Amen. Things should change. You know, your mouth. If you say a curse word, every time you curse, my wife used this analogy the other day, and it's so perfect. She says, when you say evil things from your mouth, you're stretching a spiritual muscle. And the next time, it's going to be easier to say those terrible things. You don't want to stretch that muscle out. You don't want to make your mouth comfortable in trash talking. None of us should. Amen? We should go the other direction. Praise the Lord. You're forgiven, the Bible says there in Ephesians 4:32. Let me say this about our mouth again. Why? Because we're cleaning up our act for 2023. It's early enough in the year. If we'll get this stuff straightened out now, we'll have a great year. Amen? Amen. Wherever we give place in the flesh, we open the door for the devil. Let me give you an example. If you're a person who lets your anger go unchecked, the next time it'll be easier to step into rage. And then we go a step further. You stretch that muscle in the rage department, then all of a sudden you'll become violent. The end result of an unchecked temper is murder. So Jesus said, if you hate your brother without cause, you're a murderer. He's saying this is where you're heading. But we check that thing, amen? Amen. We check it at the door. We say, Jesus, help me. You let criticism, for example, go unchecked in your life. You'll become a partner with the accuser of the brethren. You don't want to join that team. That's a losing team right there. Jesus said, I cast that accuser out of heaven. And you join parties with the accuser of the brethren, saints, you don't want to go that direction. Now look at verse 30. We hadn't got that far. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And this is how we grieve him, is if we don't obey verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Malice is hatred, evil hatred in your heart. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Let's read that last part together again. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Forgive because you're forgiven. That's a muscle we should have worked out constantly in our life. You know, and we have opportunity every day, don't we? Your spouse, your kids, your neighbor, the line at Walmart. We get opportunities daily to work out the forgiveness muscle. Amen? So are you stretching it the right way? That's the question. Are you growing that muscle in strength? Let's look at Matthew 18. Jesus told a parable about forgiveness in Matthew 18. Let's back up from where we're at here. Matthew 18, beginning in verse 21. I'm going to read this fairly quickly, so stay with me. Matthew 18:21. Here we go. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Peter's real religious. He's going to offer seven. Seven's the perfect number, you know. Not three, not four. I'll throw out seven. And Jesus said to him, I say not unto you until seven times, but until 70 times seven. In other words, infinite, Peter. You don't get a stop at a certain number. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, and he goes into parable mode here, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him, 10,000 talents. Now, one of the scholars that I read on this parable, he made mention that if this were in gold standard, if it was 10,000 talents of gold, one talent is 75 pounds. Think of that. Gold's how much an ounce these days? About $1,200, $1,300, whatever it is, $1,500. I might be low. 75 pounds equals one talent.
Wow.
10,000 talents owed. Are you kidding? That would be equal to, at least at the time of this scholar's writing that I was reading, it would have equaled about 14.5 billion. In other words, it's a sum the guy could never pay back. And that's what this says in the parable. He says he owed him 10,000 talents, verse 25. But for as much as he had not to pay, in other words, there was no way he could pay that back, his Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife, his children, yeah, I imagine so, and everything he had, so payment could be made. And even then, it may not pay it off, right? Look at verse 26. The servant therefore fell down, worshipped him, saying, Lord. So we have a picture here. Who's the king represent? The Lord. The Lord, have patience with me and I will pay you all. Liar. There's no way you're going to pay back 14.5 billion. How on earth did he get that far in debt? I'm wondering. I'll tell you, Jesus is trying to point to something in this parable. This parable represents our sin debt owed to God, which we could never pay. You and I offend him momentarily, not just daily. Every moment we're leaving, breathing, compared to his holiness, we are an offense apart from his grace. Amen. And being in Christ. Now, in the blood of Jesus, we're not. But you know what I'm saying? Everything we do is selfish, angry. You know, it's all anti-God. And that's what God's saying here in this parable. This man had such an immense debt, he could never pay it back. Everything he owned would have had to be sold to pay it back. But now look at verse 27, let's read it again. The Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, and forgave him the debt. What did he do? He canceled the debt. He forgave him. It's a picture of someone saying, you owe me nothing. Debt canceled. Now look at verse 28. But the same servant went out, found one of his fellow servants, which owed him about 100 pence, or in some translations there it says about 100 denarii, right? Denarii represented one day's wage as a laborer. Okay, so say, I don't know what the minimum wage is nowadays, but a couple years ago it was about $8. So say about $10 an hour. It's like 8 hours at $10 an hour, about $80 a day. Times he owed him 100 denarii, he owed him about 3 months' wages, about $4,000. Get the picture? 14.5 billion over here. 4,000 over here. Look at the comparison and look what Jesus says. And so he owed him about 100 denarii, 100 pence. He laid his hands on him. He didn't just talk to him. He laid his hands on him. He took him by the throat. Verse 28. He said, pay me what you owe. This guy's brutal, man. His fellow servant fell down at his feet, besought him saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. Now this guy could have done it. He could have paid him back because it was a trivial amount compared to the 14.5 billion, right? Verse 30, he would not. Ooh, you ever been in that place of, I will not? Someone ticked you off and you just, in your heart, you said, I will not. I won't let it go. They're not going to get away with this that easy, right? Don't raise your hand on that one. But he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, verse 31, they were very sorry. They came and told the Lord, all that was done. Then the Lord, after he had called him, he said unto him, you wicked servant. Say it, you wicked servant. None of us in here want to be called a wicked servant by Jesus, but that's what he called him in this parable. I forgave you all the debt because you desired me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you. And his Lord was wroth. That's one of those heavy King James words. It means he's got steam coming out of his ears, right? The Lord was wroth, and he delivered him to the tormentors. You and I don't want to learn that lesson. You never want to be delivered by God over to the tormentors, okay? We'll talk about that more in a moment. Till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise. Let me talk about the tormentors for a moment before we get into so likewise. Let's just park on tormentors for a second here. Verse 34. I want to say this. If you're taking notes, write this phrase. Unforgiveness is costly. You want to line out your year on a good path? I'm not up here telling you how to win friends and influence people for your new year. I'm telling you the truth that Jesus tells us. Unforgiveness is costly, right? Let's don't have blessings coming in the front door and all our blessings going out the door back door because we left the back door open through unforgiveness. It's very costly. Keep your finger here in Matthew 18. I want to turn to a few quick passages to show you how costly. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll come right back to Matthew, so keep something in that, hold that door open. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul's talking to the church at Corinth, and you know the story of what was going on in Corinth. There was a man in the church who was in blatant immorality with his father's second wife, not his real mother. The church, instead of correcting the man and dealing with it, they were kind of proud, like, wow, the grace of God is so flowing in our church. Look, this guy can sleep with this woman in his family and still get forgiven. Tilt, all right? So Paul writes to Corinthians, and he tells them, you deal with this. And then in the 2 Corinthians, he comes back to him and says, now that that man has repented, forgive him. Okay, that's the context, what we're going to pick up here in 2 Corinthians 2:10. If you forgive anyone, I also forgive him. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, for your sakes, I forgave it in the person of Christ, as if I were Jesus himself. Verse 11, look at this. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. In one translation, it says, lest Satan outwit us. For we are not ignorant of his devices or his schemes. Did you know that when you don't walk in forgiveness, Satan is outwitting you? When we decide to do like the guy in the parable and hold out on some servant who owed us some little measly 100 denarii, Satan has just outwitted you. You thought you were in control. You thought you were, you know, I'll get mine. He'll get his. You know, you thought you were doing the tit for tat thing. I'm telling you what, you just opened the door for the devil to come into your house and deceive you with his schemes. Now look at 1 John. We'll get to the happy message in a little bit, okay? I'm just laying a little heavy on you. 1 John 2:9. It'll get better. Breathe the fresh air, okay? But I want you to see how dangerous it is to walk in unforgiveness. 1 John 2:9. He that says he's in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness, even until now. He that loves his brother abides in the light, verse 10, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. Verse 11, but he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Saints, it's dangerous to walk in unforgiveness. You're walking around in darkness, someone's going to get hurt. You ever been in a really dark room? You thought you knew where you're going, all of a sudden, dope, kicked something, right? Or you tripped over something, or you stepped on a Lego or whatever, you know, and it caused you great pain. Listen, you're going to get hurt, or someone nearby you is going to get hurt when you and I walk in unforgiveness. That's what Jesus is saying. It's real simple. Now Matthew 18, back at Matthew 18. Are you there? So likewise, verse 35. None of us want the tormentors in our life. So likewise, you know, in many parables that Jesus told, he didn't give the interpretation until the disciples asked him, what on earth did that mean? But in this parable, Jesus tells the interpretation right up front. He says, I don't want anyone to miss the clear message of what happens when you don't forgive someone their sins. And so he gives the interpretation in verse 35 without even being asked. Isn't that interesting? He says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do to those who, also unto you, if you, underline this phrase, please, circle it, highlight it, from your hearts In the King James it says, "For from your hearts, forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." You know, you can put a smile on outwardly and have daggers at the ready in your heart towards someone. And Jesus says, "I'm not letting you get away with that." He says, "You got to forgive from your heart." Amen. We're coming up on Valentine's Day in a couple days. Get your heart right. Right? It's heart day. Let's celebrate it right by having our heart in alignment. No daggers, no spears, no weapons at the ready. A clear conscience, free of unforgiveness. Jesus says, forgive from your heart. If not, my Father will do unto you, just like this parable. Now, I can't explain this, saints, because I told you earlier that Jesus was talking to which group of people? The Jews. And were they under law or under grace yet? Right, so you could read this and say, well, that was under law. There's no more tormentors for believers on this side of grace. You ever walked in unforgiveness and seen what happens in your life? It's like someone unleashed hell on you. Because Jesus' parable, this is an eternal principle. I believe it works under law. It works under grace. Are you with me? You got to forgive no matter which age you're living in. I'm telling you, we're in an age of grace, but I've seen in my own life, if I open the door through unforgiveness, if I failed to let someone's debt be canceled in my heart, here come the tormentors. That can manifest in all kinds of ways. But I'm just telling you, that's not a way to build our life in 2023. Amen? We don't want those tormentors around us. Not for a moment. Not for a moment. You say, well, what is forgiveness exactly? Well, the word forgive is interesting when you break it down. It's very simple. It's very easy to see it. Not all words break down this easily, but forgive. You know, F-O-R is a prefix that means to prohibit or to refuse. For example, forbid. If I forbid you, the word bid means to invite, right? But if I forbid, I don't bid you. I don't invite you. Are you with me? Yeah. So when we say forgive, we're saying not to give. Are you with me? The F-O-R prefix means not or to refuse something. Of course, give means don't pay. So when Jesus says, I want you to forgive, he's saying, don't give. Right? Refuse to give them what they deserve. Right? Refuse to give them what they gave you. That's what forgive means. It's real plain and simple. Don't give it to them. And you know, they're all different personality types. There's some of us who are more outwardly explosive, like the parable of the servant here that we just read where he took him by the throat. There's some people that are immediate, you know, they're immediate reactors. And then there's the more subtle people who will stab you in the night. You know, you got two different types. One will run you off the high, what's that called? The overpass. He'll just steer you off the overpass while you're not looking. The other will cut your brake lines and wait for you to go off the overpass on a sunny day. Don't be either type. Whichever type you are, the Bible says, forgive. Don't give them what they gave you. Forgive. Refuse to give them what they are owed. If you're taking notes, write this. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a decision. It's not a feeling. It's a decision. It's like love. Love has feelings. When we're walking in love, sometimes the feelings are there, sometimes they're not. But love is a decision. Forgiveness is a decision, not a feeling. It's a decision about what? It's a decision, like we read in this parable, to cancel the debt. Amen? Forgiveness is a decision to cancel the debt. They owe me something, you say. No, they don't. Do you owe Jesus anything? Why not? Because he canceled your debt. Your $14.5 billion was removed from the books. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We should rejoice in that every day. If you've got nothing else going right in your life, you can thank God your debt has been canceled by Jesus. Thank you for forgiving me. You know what? They don't even owe you an apology. You don't wait for someone to apologize before you. You say, I'll apologize as soon as they ask forgiveness. Did God forgive you your sins before you came to Christ, before you asked forgiveness? No. He didn't wait for your apology, did he? He forgave you in Christ while you were still dead in your sins. Amen? That's what the Bible clearly states in Ephesians. While we were dead in sins, Christ died for us. Amen? Excuse me, Romans 5, that's where that verse is found. Getting my Bible mixed up. God, for Christ's sake, we read it in Ephesians 4:32, for Christ's sake, forgave you. Apart from any apology or any penance you had already started to do to earn that forgiveness, God forgave you in Christ. Amen? How many of you know who Corrie ten Boom is? Interesting name. She's a lady from Holland. She hid Jews during the war, during World War II. She hid Jews in her father's clock shop upstairs. They made a secret room, and they hid a number of Jews and helped them escape out of the country during Nazi occupation. They eventually were caught. She and her sister and father went to a concentration camp. She escaped with her life, miraculously. Her sister and father died in prison. She says this about forgiveness, and so I would venture to say Corrie ten Boom knew quite a bit about forgiveness. Amen? She says this, forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. I'll read that one more time. Usher, let me get Usher to catch the lights here for us in just a moment. We're going to watch a quick clip by Corrie ten Boom. I'm going to read that again. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function, say function, regardless of the temperature of the heart. Watch this brief video clip by Corrie ten Boom.
Time ago that I was in Berlin, and there came a man to me and said, Mr. Boom, I am glad to see you. Don't you know me? And suddenly I saw that man. That was one of the most cruel overseers in concentration camp. And that man said, I'm now a Christian. I have found the Lord Jesus. I read my Bible and I know that there is forgiveness for all the sins of the whole world, also for my sins. I have forgiveness for the cruelties I have done. But then I have asked God's grace for an opportunity that I could ask one of my very victims forgiveness. And Fräulein ten Boom, will you forgive me? And I could not. I remembered the suffering of my dying sister through him. But when I experienced that I could not forgive, suddenly I knew I myself have no forgiveness. But I was not able, I could not, I could only hate him. And then I took one of these beautiful texts, one of these boundless resources, Romans 5:5. And thank you, Father, that your love is stronger than my hatred and unforgiveness. That same moment, I was free. And I could say, brother, give me your hand. And I shook hands with him. And it was as if I felt God's love stream through my arms. You never touch so the ocean of God's love as that you forgive your enemies. Can you forgive? No. I can't either, but he can.
Amen. We can't forgive, but he can through us. Amen. Sometimes we don't have the love in our heart. She said she met that prison guard. He said, I found Jesus, and I've been asking the Lord to lead me to one of my former prisoners so that I could ask their forgiveness and he could be released. And in that moment, she said, I could not. But then she remembered what the word says. Amen. The promise of God. Because forgiveness is not an emotion. Forgiveness is a decision to obey what we know from God to be true. That is, God has forgiven us. We must forgive our fellow servants. Amen. Amen. You know, we're moving as a church toward a building. We're moving toward growth. We're moving into a greater impact in our community. And it's going to require this of us. That we love each other deeply from the heart even more. And as we move together more, as we work together more, we're going to have more and more opportunity to offend one another. The question is, what will you do with the offense? Unforgiveness typically happens the most between spouses. Why? Because they live with each other day in and day out, right? You see their faults, they see your faults. You trip up in front of them, they trip up in front of you. It's easy to get annoyed, easy to get offended. But the Lord says, I've forgiven you your 14 billion. Remember that when you leave here today. 14 billion. That was your debt. The Lord said, canceled. What is 100 denarii compared to that? When you forgive, you may feel you have just set a prisoner free. But then you discover the prisoner was you. And isn't it great to be free? Amen. Oh, it's so great to release someone in forgiveness and you go free. God wants us to progress in 2023. And that's going to require freedom on our part. You can't be free if you're bound up in darkness and chains and the tormentors that are released into our life when we leave the door open to the devil through unforgiveness. Stand together with me. As I've been teaching today, for some of you, it's obvious that the Holy Spirit has pointed to someone or some situation in your life that needs you to make a choice today to forgive. Probably if we had an altar call and had you come forward, all of us would be up here. And I'm almost inclined to do that because there are some of you in here that have been suffering under the tormentor. And you know it's been a result. I mean, you could be the first one to pop your hand up. You go, yeah, I know who they are. I know what they did, and I'm ready to clobber them. You know it right now in your heart. Well, the Lord wants you to be released. He wants you to be free to enjoy his forgiveness this year. Amen? So we're going to pray. And I want you to bow your heads for a moment. In fact, I'm not going to call you forward, but I do want you to at least acknowledge by a raised hand. You say, Pastor Scott, this message is for me today. I've got a situation, I've got a relationship that needs the forgiveness of God released into it today, and I'm at least truthful enough. I'm not going to embarrass you by asking you to come forward, but I am going to ask you to raise your hand. Why? Because when we hear the truth, if we don't acknowledge the truth in some way with a raised hand, a stomped foot, going forward to an altar, whatever it is, we've got to acknowledge truth in order to step into that reality. It's important. So with eyes closed, because this is nobody's business but me and the Lord, I'm the one teaching this, so it's my business today, but I'm not sharing it with anybody. I want you to raise your hand and say, Pastor Scott, pray for me because I've got a situation, I've got a relationship that needs the forgiveness of God like Corrie Ten Boom. I need the Holy Spirit to help me forgive that person, that situation, and I'm willing to say yes to forgiveness today. If that's you at all, raise your hand real high, please. Don't be embarrassed. We're all, at some point in our life, all of us have been in that place. Yes, I see it. Thank you. Keep your hands up for just another moment because the Father sees it. And this is who we really want to see it this morning. God's love can sweep in right now and fill your heart. And so with that hand up, thank you for being honest. How we need your love, Father. We can't love without your love. But when we see the immense debt that you canceled over our lives and how you forgave us and you loved us, not because we deserved it, we deserved punishment, but you gave us your forgiveness. You canceled our debt. Now, Lord, I'm asking you for these with upraised hands today for a grace to come on them to forgive, that they will clearly see, Lord, no longer in darkness, they'll clearly see all that you've forgiven them. And that ocean of love that you reveal to their hearts will so fill their vision that nothing, no one in this life can ever again take their ability to love, their ability to forgive. Lord, the love of God will be poured out in their hearts right now. Poured out, Holy Spirit. Just receive it right now from the Father. Before we move another step further, receive the love of God to enable you to forgive. Hallelujah. We thank you. Thank you for your grace, Lord, right now. Just receive it. Thank you, Lord. Your immense love, Jesus, flowing in this place. Saving grace, Lord, to enable us to move forward, not blindly, but to see clearly the path before us. Oh, every day will be brighter. The sun will be shining every day in our lives as long as we walk in your love and your forgiveness, Father. Hallelujah. Open up the heavens now above these lives, these precious souls, Lord. Part the heavens. Let them see the sunlight of your love and your glory in their lives. In Jesus' name. I want you to do this from your heart with head still bowed for just a moment. I want you to say from your heart, first of all, I cancel the debt. You can say it out loud under your breath. If that's important to you to release it with your words, go ahead and say that. I cancel the debt. I forgive. I declare them forgiven. You know what? You may walk out these doors today and 10 steps out into the parking lot, the enemy may hit you again with that sense of hatred, resentment. But they did this. They did that. You need to say it again. I cancel the debt. Let's all say it together, just in faith. I cancel the debt. I forgive. Hallelujah. Declare them forgiven. It's important for you to declare your enemies forgiven from your heart. I read one quote. It wasn't a Christian. I was doing a search on great quotes on forgiveness, and someone said, I have to throw a little humor in here. They said, forgive those who hurt you because nothing will annoy them more. Be kind to your enemies because nothing will annoy them more. In other words, they haven't really forgiven because they're looking for a way to annoy their enemies to the hilt, right? But truly, it's a wonderful place of freedom. You can look up at me now. It's a wonderful place of freedom when you choose, not because of emotion or feeling, but you say, I forgive them. I cancel the debt, and I look for ways. I encourage you, please look for ways to bless that person. Maybe they're no longer in your life. It might just be a blessing spoken from your mouth. It might be a prayer for them. Jesus said, pray for your enemies, didn't he? Right? That's how we can bless them. It doesn't mean you have to go back running into their life. I want to say this. It's very important for you to know this. If someone hurts you deeply, you don't have to go back and link up with them and be BFFs. BFFs. I'm not used to saying that, but it's part of my notes here. You don't have to be their BFF. You can release them and let them go. Amen. Sometimes there are people in our lives we need to release and let them go, but be sure you're not tied to them through unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will bind you to that person for the rest of your life until you sever that tie. Oh, it's freeing. I don't want to be tied to anybody who's hurt me in the past. It's terrible. Amen. We can be free. Say free.
Free.
Jesus wants you free in 2023. Oh, that's a great t-shirt. Somebody write that down before I forget it. Hallelujah. Jesus wants us free this year. Amen. So we can make progress. Please, as you go home this week, mull over these verses. Mark 11:23. It doesn't stop with 23. You can say to the mountain, well, that's great faith. You can pray and have all your prayers answered. It ends with, you better forgive.
Amen.
Right? Let's take heed to the whole counsel of God, the whole word of God. Amen. Have a great week. Be blessed in the Lord. Don't forget the big event tonight.
LPs.